Ramsey TV.
There's one thing I want you to remember. There's lots of things I want you to remember, but there's one main thing I want you to remember and never forget, and that is that the Savior of the world was born in a stable, in a barn, with animals, in an out-of-the-way place that could not be located except celestial messengers had to tell shepherds where it was. There was no GPS, but I think the celestial messengers were better than GPS. Joseph and Mary were looking for a place to stay. They were in Bethlehem, the city of David, their forefather, for the census. They got there late. There was no room at the... They checked the Motel 6. They checked the Red Roof Inn. They checked the Comfort Inn. And they even went to the Holiday Inn that was a little out of their range. But they tried the Holiday Inn. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. But one of the guys at the Holiday Inn said, "Well, I do have this shed out back. It'll be comfortable. At least you'll be out of the way. No morons running up and down the halls or anything like that. We'll take it," they said. And the Savior of the world was born in the most humble place imaginable. That's all you need to know. Unless you want to go to David and Goliath, which follows the template, follows the scheme. That's how God does it all the time. He takes a little kid, the runt of the litter. Samuel goes to anoint the next king of Israel. All the sons of Jesse march before him. "Oh, surely the Lord has chosen is before me. Look at how big he is. Look at his shoulders. That guy, look at that facial stubble. Wow, look at the leg hair. Ooh, that must be God's chosen one." All the sons came and the Lord said, "Nope, nope, 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 nope." Samuel says, "Not all the kids you got?" "Well, I got one more, but he's the runt. He's out in the field. Nah, I'm not leaving until you bring him in." Boom, here comes a little kid. "Yeah, did you call for me, Daddy?" There's David. There you go. Defeats the champion of the Philistines. That's the operation. That's how it works. That's why your life is the way it is. That's why you feel the way you do. That's why your circumstances are the way they are. Because this is another David and Goliath situation. But I have to remind you at this point of the story that, shh, don't say this too loud, but David wins. Yeah, you're going to win. You're set up for victory. Why? Because if the universe were looking down at you, you would be the last candidate for victory, the first candidate for infamy, defeat, and humiliation. So you're perfectly primed. Now, at the end of this show, I'm going to tell you about a conference is coming up. I mean, I say this because this conference is going to be humble but great. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be there. I'm going to teach. Other people might teach. I don't know what's going on yet, but I'm just going to talk. Everybody's going to talk. I don't know, but it's happening, and it's going to happen next month. I'm going to give you the details, but you have to stick to the end of the show. Little marketing scheme here, because I need to tell you about Phoebe. Have I told you about Phoebe before? I may have talked about Phoebe. I wrote about Phoebe in the Romans series. Phoebe was a patroness of Paul, and she was the woman, listen to this, who took the letter of Romans, the letter to the Romans, got on a ship, sailed to Rome, and she delivered this letter. This is why I think that. It doesn't say directly that in the scriptures, but our apostle, Paul, in the last chapter of Romans, when he mentions all those wonderful people by name, he says this in 16, Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. This is the first person he names in this chapter that lists all of the members of the Roman Ecclesia. Yeah, these ecclesias were small and intimate, and that's what's coming up in October. Hang on to your seat. Chapter 16 of Romans, verses 1 and 2. "Now I am commending to you Phoebe, our sister, being a servant also of the ecclesia in Cenchrea." Going to tell you about Cenchrea in a minute, why that's important. "That you should be receiving her in the Lord worthily of the saints, and may stand by her in whatever matter she may be needing you, for she became a patroness of many as well as of myself. A patroness. That means this woman must have, I'm tempted to say she was a woman of means, but no, I don't think so. Because you know what they say, if you need money, ask a poor person. If you need something done, ask a busy person. She gave of her means to the saints and to Paul. God gave her a spirit of wisdom to realize where the work was being done, and she became a patroness of these individuals. How's that for an entry in your resume at the Dais of Christ? At the Dais of Christ, you became a patroness of Paul. You gave Paul money so that he could travel and teach the evangel. Bing! Why is he commending to you Phoebe? Because Phoebe brought the letter, the only copy of what we know now as Romans to Rome. There was no fanfare. There was no trumpet announcing Phoebe's arrival. There were, as far as I know, no angels singing when Paul's scribe Tertius rolled up that letter, sealed it, gave it to Paul, and Paul gave it to Phoebe, who was a member of a nearby ecclesia in Cenchrea, which is the port city of Achaia, the peninsula, the Corinth Peninsula, where Corinth is. Corinth being the city, one of the major city of that area. Cenchrea being the port 14 kilometers away. So Paul visited both ecclesias. Again, let's read Romans 16:1 again. I'm commending to you Phoebe, our sister, being a servant also of the ecclesia in Cenchrea. So there was an ecclesia 14 kilometers away from Rome, from Corinth, and it was strategically located in that it was on the port. And this is my scenario that I'm going to paint for you right now. Paul dictates the letter of Romans to his scribe Tertius in, I think, the summer of 56. He's writing it in Corinth. We know that because of three people he mentions: Phoebe, Gaius, and Erastus. Erastus, by the way, was a city official in Corinth, and they actually found a stone inscribed with his name. They excavated it in ancient Corinth. Erastus, a member of the body of Christ and also a big shot on the city council. So Paul's influence apparently extended to wealthy and influential Roman citizens. So Paul wrote Romans from the city of Corinth. It was his third missionary journey. I wrote about this in one of my newsletters in the Roman series, ZWTF 2.24. I will link you to it here. This was part 7 of the Roman series, which eventually contained 150-something parts. Can't remember. Read them all. You'll figure it out. Paul was in Corinth. He was collecting money from the Gentile believers there for the starving Jerusalem ecclesias. This would mean that Paul, again, wrote Romans around AD 56. Now, again, we know he wrote it from Corinth because of the three people previously mentioned. Cenchrea was one of probably one of the unnamed churches Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians 1:1. He talks about in the whole of Achaia. Achaia was the major region, the geographical area there in Greece. It was a village within the greater Corinthian municipality, speaking of Cenchrea. Now, I want to get back to Phoebe here because she's one of my new favorites. I mean, you've probably heard me talk about Tryphena and Tryphosa mentioned in Romans 16:12 because I have this crazy fantasy that Tryphena and Tryphosa were sisters. I mean, what great melodic names. Tryphena, Tryphosa. They're mentioned in Romans 16:12. My fantasy is they're just hot twins in the Roman Ecclesia. And they have been my favorites of the Roman Ecclesia, probably my favorites in the whole body of Christ for a long time. But see, somewhere as I begin to write the Roman series, I begin to appreciate Phoebe and what she did and the job she was given. Paul selected this woman, one woman, not an army, not a committee, one woman to take the letter from Corinth to Rome. Phoebe did this, the patroness, the member, not famous. She's not famous. I mean, she's in the Bible now. At the time, she was a member of the body of Christ. Paul says, Phoebe lives in the port city. I'll just travel down there. This is what I think happened. Paul took the letter. No. I don't think that would have happened because there was an ecclesia in Corinth. We know that. And Paul was there. So I'm thinking that this way it had to have been. I'm thinking that since Paul was in Corinth at the time, there's no way that Phoebe probably would not have gone to Paul. So it's either that she was at the meeting, or maybe she was there while Paul was writing, refreshing him, or Paul, having dictated the letter, Tertius rolling it up, somebody, either Paul or Tertius, this is the second possible scenario, took it to Cenchrea, it was only 14 kilometers away, and gave it to Phoebe. This woman carried it. She alone was in possession of the only copy of the book of Romans. And I think that the night before she left, she put it in the top drawer of her dresser. Can you imagine that? In the morning, got it. Either put it in a purse or a handbag, or I think probably tucked it in her robe, in her clothing, or possibly in her cleavage. Yeah, the letter of Romans, the original, could have been in the cleavage of Phoebe. She wanted to protect it with her most intimate being. That she doesn't want anything to happen to this. But obviously, she doesn't know this at the time, but she's the safest woman on the planet. Nothing's going to happen to Phoebe, because Phoebe needs to get this letter to Rome. And so Paul arranged to meet her at the port, or it was Paul's scribe, Tertius. Again, she took it home, and then next day, booked passage to Rome. What an honor. What an honor. Again, this woman's not only a contemporary of Paul's, she's a believer, and God gives her the grace of being able to contribute to the work, and this great honor of carrying Romans, the letter, the original letter, to Rome. This is why Paul says that, how's he word it? I'm commending to you. Commending to you. It's got, that's hurts. I'm commending to you, Phoebe. She's the one. This is the only reason you and I have a Bible. And the only reason you and I know, I mean, about the blessings we have in Christ. We quote all these great passages in Romans, Romans 5, 18, 19, Romans 5, 20, Romans 12, 3, Romans 3, 21, Romans 5, Romans 6, 6, God, there's so many, Romans 5, 10, I mean, it's because of her, Phoebe, I mean, yes, yeah, because of Paul, it's because of Tertius. In the newsletter, I have a picture of Phoebe. I don't need to tell you how I acquired this, but yeah, this is what I think Phoebe looked like. I make the comment in here that I would definitely trade two Erastus trading cards for one Phoebe. Hell, I would trade two Erastus cards, a Timothy, and a Titus card for Phoebe. I would even trade a Tryphena. Well, yes, well, I don't know. Let me just show you Phoebe here. Here she is. She's lovely. I can't see what I'm showing you here, but there's Phoebe the night before she left for Rome from Cenchrea, the port. Here's the port. This is actually what the port of at Cenchrea looks like today. This is it. You see this? I can't see what I'm showing you. This, I think that the ship must have landed here somewhere, and Phoebe, with the only copy of the letter to the Romans in her possession, in her person, between her breasts, wherever it was, took it. to Rome. Our lovely Phoebe. Yes, she received recompense here on Earth. I mean, she's going to get it at the dais, but I think she received it here on Earth too. Because for a few short days between Cenchrea and Rome, she carried it in her personal possession. And again, as I said, there was no safer person on the face of the planet than our dear Phoebe. At the end of the newsletter, I write this to Phoebe personally. Dear Sister Phoebe, I and the saints of my household salute you. We carry on the work. You did not labor in vain. Several million copies of the letter that you carried to Rome, which sat on your dresser overnight, are enshrined in God's bound revelation to us. We study it every day. Few people understand it, but don't be discouraged. Someday everyone will understand it. I'm writing a series of newsletters about it now. You died not knowing any of this. You died having not received the promise of a glorified body. I shall see you in the resurrection. You will be radiant, Phoebe. You will rise first. Then you and I will be with our Savior together forever. Then you will be acknowledged before the universe at the dais of Christ as the patroness that you were of God's sent truth and the carrier, protector, and yes, the lover of the most profound writing granted to humans. I can't wait to see this, and I can't wait to see you. On October 23rd through 25th this year, there's a meeting at the home of Michael Knotts. He's our brother. He broadcasts shows for you and for me. I'm going to link you to one of his shows here. It'll be there with the newsletter where I wrote that little note to Phoebe. Watch the video. Watch his channel. He presents the truth in a straightforward manner. One of the most humble guys I've ever seen. He doesn't have a theme song like me. He just puts it out there plain and simple. I love the guy. He texted me today. Actually, Seth Follenkamp texted me and said, Michael Knotts sent you an email. He's going to have a little get-together. He says he thinks he's got like 16 people coming to his house. There's some new people. He said things are happening around there. I got excited. In the last few years, people have had to twist my arm to go to conferences. I've been a homebody. I wanted to stay home. I traveled for 20 years. I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conferences, and I'm just burned out. I just wanted to stay home, stay home. But as soon as I read Michael's email, it just hit me. I got to go to this. I have to be a part of this. I don't know why. It's going to be epic. This may be the last big meeting of the body of Christ before the snatching away. We don't know. I just think it's important. It's in Mansfield, Missouri. You can fly into St. Louis and rent a car, although it's a 3.5-hour drive, or you can fly into Springfield, Missouri. That's what I'm going to do. They're going to pick me up. You can contact Michael. Here's his phone number. He gave me permission to give this to you. Michael Knotts. 417-849-7566. Call Michael Knotts or text him, better yet, and tell him you're interested. Tell him you want details. October 23rd through 25th. That's a Friday through a Sunday. 417-849-7566. Or you can email him at mknotts5510@gmail.com. mknotts, that's mknotts. 510@gmail.com. His address, he gave me permission to give you everything. This guy's open. He wants you to come. I hope you do. Please, if you're within the sound of my voice, come to Mansfield, Missouri. I've never been there. I've been to Missouri, never been to Mansfield. It's in the middle of a wilderness. I mean, it kind of looks like it's in a remote area, which is fantastic. Paul would love it. 2797 Smith Road, Mansfield, Missouri, 65706. October 23rd through 25th. I'm going to end with this, and this is what really prompted me to talk about our Savior being born in a stable, in a barn, is that I talked to Michael on the phone today. Again, I just got this notification today that this thing was happening. Instantly, the Spirit of God within me said, yes, do it. You're going. Go. You need to be here. So I texted him, I emailed him, and I talked to him on the phone. I said, oh, this is great. I'm in. So he shared with me that he does this show every day. You need to watch it. I linked to us to one video. You find one, you find them all. He said for 4 months, he has spotty internet service. So beware of that. The internet service at his house comes and goes. He said for 4 months, in order to post his show, he records his show on his phone. Then he has to send it up to YouTube, but he has no reception. He said he needed to walk to the top of the hill in order to send his message to wherever the hell it goes, to YouTube. So he hikes up a hill, goes to the top of the hill. He said he set his phone on top of a post, on top of a wooden post. And he said it would take 3 or 4 hours to upload. So he would go up to this remote hill, set his phone on top of a post, walk back home, come back in 3 or 4 hours, see if the thing was sent to YouTube, and then take it back home. That is excellent. Phoebe would love that. The Apostle Paul would love Phoebe, who took a rolled up parchment, put it between her breasts and took it on a ship to Rome. This is how it happens. This is how God communicates with us. He communicates the book of Romans, all these rich treasures, dictated to a guy from a guy in a probably a rustic home in Corinth, this elaborate city. And I guarantee you, Paul wasn't one of the elaborate people. Neither was anybody in the ecclesia there. Neither was anybody in the ecclesia at the seaport of Cenchrea. I mean, this is how God does it. For 4 months, every day, Michael Knotts put the phone on top of a post, on top of a hill, went, because that's where the reception was, went back home, went up. Hopefully his phone's still there. Oh, did it get uploaded? I hope a bear didn't eat it, or a badger, or a gopher, or a raccoon, whatever, or a possum, whatever's in Mansfield, Missouri. We're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out what's in Mansfield, Missouri. I have a feeling that God wants us to find out what's in Mansfield, Missouri. I have a feeling that it's God's plan for us to be in Mansfield, Missouri. And by the grace of God, on October 23rd through 25th in the year of our Lord 2020, we will be, including yours truly, in Mansfield, Missouri.